$185 million. It's the largest contract for an undrafted player in NBA history. Second round of the NBA draft takes place tonight, starting at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Marlins are 16-5 in June. They doubled up and beat the Rangers today 4-2.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the Northwest cherry season has entered its peak shipping window, with volumes now at their highest levels of the year and more fruit expected to move through the supply chain in the coming weeks. 5.5 million boxes have already been shipped, and daily shipments are exceeding 400,000 boxes. Crop quality remains excellent, with strong sizing, color, and flavor being reported. As supplies increase, retail pricing has begun to ease into a promotable range. Well, a new Senate Farm Bill proposal could face an uphill battle after reports indicate it does not include a delay in plans to change the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program funding. Politico says Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman previewed the bill Monday ahead of its public release. The disagreement could complicate efforts to advance a new farm bill, as Senate leaders will likely need bipartisan support to reach the 60 votes required for passage. Well, dairy farmers may soon have a new option for hiring workers after the Trump administration announced guidance allowing dairy operations to access the H-2A visa program if they can demonstrate a temporary or seasonal labor need. Previously, most dairy farms were excluded from H-2A because milk production requires year-round labor. Under the new guidance, applications will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis using the same standards applied to other H-2A employers.
Are you a cattle or sheep producer looking to market to a nationwide audience? If so, the consignment deadline for Western Video Market's 37th annual July sale in Reno is June 25th. Don't miss your chance to market your livestock in one of our nation's premier video auctions, July 13th through the 15th in Reno, Nevada. Reach top buyers from across the country. Contact your local Western Video Market rep today or visit WVMcattle.com. Western Video Market, let the professionals go to work for you.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages pairing from earlier gains and are mixed in afternoon trading following a two-day slide in tech shares on worries about debt-funded AI spending. Oil prices are slumping toward their pre-war levels, with West Texas Intermediate crude at over $70 a barrel. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks are mixed. Shares of Alphabet are up 0.5%. The Google parent is slated to replace Verizon in the Dow on June the 29th. Memory chip makers are also mixed ahead of Micron Technology's earnings release after the bell this afternoon, which will be a big test for the AI trade. And shares of Wendy's are surging 30%. The fast food chain is getting attention from retail investors, who are rallying behind the struggling chain on social media. Wendy's has been under pressure as its sales in the U.S. keep falling and margins remain pressured from higher commodity costs. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Should the United States recognize Red China? If so, what's in it for us? And what's in it for the Chinese? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Too often in our pursuit of detente, we act as if a concession on our side is automatically helpful to the process as a whole. But if you think about it, nothing could make detente less meaningful, either to the United States or to the populations of the communist nations, than an unending series of one-sided American concessions. If our adversaries can get what they want, formal recognition, liberalized trade, technical help, what have you, without making any modifications in their foreign or domestic policies, then the basis for true friendship is erased. It's only by a change in the nature of communism, a movement away from the policies of aggression abroad and repression at home, that communism and the West will be able to live together in harmony. If the communists get the prestige and material aid they want without having to change any of their own policies, the seeds of future conflict will be continually nourished, ready to sprout anew with little or no warning. It seems to me that before making new concessions, our policymakers need to nail down, not just on paper, but in their own minds, exactly what it is we're getting in return. This applies in particular to the recognition of Red China, a move which would involve the downgrading of our relations with the Republic of China on Taiwan, which is a major trading partner and one of the most stable, prosperous Asian countries. Despite its severe political setbacks of the past 2 years in the United Nations and elsewhere, the Republic of China has emerged from a difficult period in robust economic health and with renewed political vigor. In the Far East, the concept of face is important. Recognition of the communist regime in Peking and downgrading of relations with Taipei is therefore a matter of great importance to the nations involved, and thus to us. We should not make such a move in the absence of concrete concessions from Peking. In the long run, no concession is more important than a relaxation of China's brutal policy toward its own people. With the victory of Premier Chou Enlai and his so-called moderate allies in the recent Communist Party conference, promises have been made to the Chinese people along these lines. Under a newly adopted constitution, the people, for the first time since the revolution, have been given the right to work for themselves and for their families' benefit. Industrial workers can moonlight. Peasants can cultivate private plots. In the political realm, there's to be less emphasis on strict conformity to the party line and more freedom to speak out. These moves come on the heels of warnings by the Chou faction that a continuation of the cruel repression favored by party chairman Mao Zedong could lead to overthrow of the government. Thus, the present relaxation may be more a matter of political survival than increased benevolence. Whatever the motives, we should welcome these steps and wait a considerable time to see whether they're implemented. This is especially important when we consider the advanced age and, in some cases, illness of China's current leadership and the chronic instability of China's politics in recent years. And we should be exacting a much tougher price in China's external policies. It's easy to talk of friendship with the United States when at the same time you're free to threaten war with Taiwan and to fund terrorist liberation movements in South Vietnam, Cambodia, and elsewhere. Before we even think about recognition of the Peking government, we should make sure their deeds match their words. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And a few days ago, I wrote a story, San Luis Obispo Mayor Leaks Confidential Report Would Do It Again. And the reason it's important is it's actually a crime. If you go testify in front of a grand jury, you have to do an oath. You have to sign a document. You have to follow the law. You can't testify in front of the grand jury and then call someone and say, let's talk and get our story straight so we're all saying the same thing. You can't do that in a text message. When they send you a report and say, don't share with anyone, you don't get to share it with your boss. You have five city council members in the city of San Luis Obispo. Four of the five are tied to Cal Poly. Mayor Erica Stewart works at Cal Poly. Another one works at Cal Poly. Another one's husband works at Cal Poly. And the fourth one's husband is retired from Cal Poly. And they are doing things to benefit the university is what they're being accused of doing. But regardless, the law says the mayor could not share a report the grand jury sent her regarding things the city wasn't doing correct with Cal Poly in their dealings with Cal Poly, protecting the residents of the community with things that were causing their property values to go down, their quality of life to go down. This was a serious issue, and the mayor's loyalty appears to be with Cal Poly, not with the residents that she is supposed to be supporting. Now, I know that this is North County. I'm going to bring this into how this works across the board. I have been watching over the last probably 20 years, and I'm seeing more and more behavior that is self-dealing and with conflicts of interest, not only in San Luis Obispo, throughout this county. There are some governments that are pretty good about not doing it. And then there are other ones that act like, oh, we're all small town. We're all friends. Who cares? Why would this matter? Literally, it's almost a who cares attitude. And this is just the way things are done in San Luis Obispo County. And we will be going over some of the ways this has been done in Paso Robles also. I've had many people call and complain. The mayor would vote on projects, many development projects in the city, and then his door company put all the garage doors in. So what did he do? He put the company, he still owned the building, he still had a financial interest because he was leasing it to his son. He was leasing the building, was in his name. And then he was leasing it to his son. But by putting it in the son's name, did that mean he no longer had a conflict of interest? He had a financial interest. He was still leasing the building and then leasing it to his son. But we're going to go over this kind of lackadaisical idea that it doesn't matter and that we're a small town and who cares if some of these things happen and who cares if there's some conflicts of interest. And who cares what is going on? I think there's a lot of people that want the self-dealing and the conflicts of interest to end. And I put up the story a couple days, I think it was yesterday, San Luis Obispo Mayor leaks confidential report, would do it again, or I put it up Monday maybe, on Monday. I think I've had more calls on this story than any other story, including people on government bodies from Paso Robles. I had a high-ranking council person. I Pismo, San Luis Obispo. I have had multiple attorneys call me saying, this is absolutely horrid. It should never have happened. But I want to tell you, how do we know this is happening? We know it because two women, Kathy Walker and Carolyn Smith, they both live in San Luis Obispo. They have both been pushing to have more oversight over the loud parties at Cal Poly. For those that don't know, there was one party that had 7,000 people show up. They tore fences down. They broke car windows as they went up and down the street. They trashed the neighborhood. But there are people that have regular parties near them. And the city, the argument was, and the reason the grand jury looked into this, was arguments that the city has laws they're not enforcing because everyone's tied to Cal Poly. The grand jury looked into it. They found problems. But what we're going to be talking about today is how this came about and how they found it. And again, this was found by Kathy Walker and Carolyn Smith. They put up a website. They did multiple records requests. Showing what they received from Cal Poly. And it absolutely shows without a doubt that the mayor, so the mayor was, they did this confidential report. Let me explain how the grand jury works. And I can talk from personal experience. I've had multiple calls to come down. They make you sign something. They also put you under oath. They tell you the rules. You can't walk out of there and then call another agency. So if they interview you, you're not allowed to call the other side and say, hey, you know, boss, you know, again, Erica Stewart, Mayor Erica Stewart works for Cal Poly. Hey, Anderson, you know, here's what I said. Call the administration at Cal Poly and tell them what you said to them. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to talk about the questions asked. You're not allowed to talk about any of it. And then what they do, and this is by penal code, they have to give the city a chance to get their story together before it comes out. So they sent it at least 2 days early to the city, because the city was a group they were looking at. They sent a copy of the report with an admonishment in there, and twice it was listed. You're not allowed to tell anybody about this. You're not allowed to share this report. You can't disclose even the contents of the report until it's publicly released. 2 hours and 9 minutes after she got it, she was contacting Cal Poly. Did you get a copy of the report? No? Oh, well, I'll give you a copy of the report and send it over to them. After they interviewed it, and when the manager interviewed with them back in January of 25, she then sent, they were actually talking back and forth to get their story straight with the Cal Poly email show. This is not, it's against the penal code. It's actually a crime. It's a misdemeanor to violate these rules. Even more interesting, the mayor went on another radio show, and while on there, was asked about this, and she said, I don't think I broke the law, and I would do it again. More recently, the Tribune asked her, and she said, oh, I thought they already had a copy. No, you didn't. You have text messages that show you knew they didn't have a copy when you emailed it over. And again, this has to do with honesty and integrity in public office and conflicts of interest. So which one of you want to start?
Well, I can start.
So this is Carolyn.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit what made you get interested in this, and how, when you started getting the records, were you surprised?
Well, I'm on the board of Residents for Quality Neighborhoods. I've been in that group for about 15 years. And the problem we've had is parties, the large parties, the interference with people's peace and safety. We have many members in that neighborhood who complain that they can't sleep at night. They can't have, normal quality of life like most people have. So we had been trying to get the city to stop the St. Fratty's Day for years, and they just didn't do anything. The police chief that came on board, I think it was in 2022 or 21.
Yeah, so it reemerged in 2022. Yeah. St. Fratty's Day was only really in 2015, and there was a roof collapse, and then it pretty much disappeared and came back in 2022.
Yeah, in 2022.
After COVID.
Yes. The street party occurred again, and it kept increasing over several years. And the police chief, Rick Scott, was doing the same thing every year, and nothing was changing. In fact, it was getting worse. And at the end of the, until they did something about it, it was up to 7,000 kids in a neighborhood tearing a place apart. So after the grand jury report was hit, after the chief got called in as a witness, they finally did something and worked with Cal Poly to do an on-campus concert, which kept the kids out of the street party, and that's worked for 2 years now. We don't know if they're going to continue doing that, but the reason we went to the grand jury was we were very frustrated not getting anywhere with our city council or our city police chief in trying to get this problem resolved. So we were desperate, and we went to the grand jury, and they found that the city had failed to protect their residents by enforcing their land use codes and their ordinances. So we did get something out of that, in that they have now for 2 years done what they should have done before. We don't know how long that will last, because it cost Cal Poly over $1 million to do that concert. And the city spent, I don't know, several hundred thousand dollars to keep them out of the neighborhoods during and after the concert. So even Jan Marks at the last meeting on this issue in the study session said she didn't know how long they were going to be willing to do this. So
Councilman Jan Marks.
Yeah, Councilman Member Jan Marks. And so this could happen again. We don't know how long this is going to be resolved. But the illegal operations of fraternities and neighborhoods was another complaint that was sent, and that resulted in an additional, they kind of combined the two, St. Fratty's Day and the fraternities, because it was all kind of involving the fraternities. So they combined that. And so they also found that the city was not enforcing their codes in regards to allowing fraternities to operate in R1 and R2 zones where they are illegal. And there are now up to, I don't know, 50 or more chapter houses operating in these residential zones, having events that they're registering with Cal Poly. Cal Poly's registering them. By law, they have to do that. And they are having parties of 300, 200. You can imagine it next door to you having a party of 200 or 300 kids with water slides and live bands and DJs and just people roaming the streets at all hours of the night. I mean, it's very... People can't understand, because most people in neighborhoods don't have that problem. But this entire section of San Luis, which is the northern part, Alta Vista neighborhood and Monterey Heights, now are inundated with fraternities.
Yeah.
And so you started this because of the noise and the quality of life. And I've had dozens and dozens of people call me and talk about also just the destruction. Mm-hmm. The tearing down fences, breaking car windows. And the police in the beginning, what they would do is they would stand around the perimeter, and if somebody got violent or climbed an electric pole or started vomiting, but they would stop them. But if they were just carrying around a jug of liquor, sometimes they'd make them pour it out, but everyone had jugs of liquor.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just a free-for-all party in the street with, the next day, I would have reporters out there, and there'd be people passed out on the ground.
Yeah, there were a lot of emergency room calls as well.
Right, there were people passed out unconscious on the roofs.
It's a dangerous situation, but now here's the thing, and I was shocked that they did it when they did that concert after the grand jury report. They did the concert, and they did when they started to walk into the road like they were going to head to a party, they said, no, if you want a drink, you get a ride downtown and go to the bars. If you're not old enough to drink, get off the street now.
Yeah.
And they were very aggressive, but they weren't aggressive for all these years.
No, they should have done that before. And that's why RQN finally said, enough, we've got to try something else. Because talking to the city council and the police chief was not working. They were just sort of shining us on and saying, we're just going to do the same thing we've been doing. And in each year, it was doubling, and it got up to 7,000. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that this is going to continue to not be a problem, but we're watching it carefully, and I think the grand jury is watching it because they are continuing to look at what the city's doing. And
I actually heard that they are going to be looking at it this year, too. I've already been told that it's one of the things that they want them to relook at. So the grand jury changes on July 1st.
Right.
So the old grand jury is going out, and the new grand jury is coming in. And even with what's going on now, I think the new grand jury is going to take a look. I've already been told. Someone informed me that they are going to be continuing to watch over this, especially, again, there was violations of law by the mayor working with people at Cal Poly and trying to get their stories aligned. They actually used the word, we need to discuss and get make sure we're aligned. You're not allowed to align with other witnesses. That isn't permitted with the grand jury. But again, the report issue is a big deal that they shared that report. And let me explain. A similar thing happened in Santa Clara. So in Santa Clara County, you had a council member, his name was Anthony Becker, and he was real, real tight with the San Francisco 49ers. They funded him getting into office. They gave him a lot of money, and there were concerns. This is going to sound familiar. Are you working for us, or are you working for the 49ers? Who does your loyalties lie with? So the grand jury in Santa Clara County decided, we're going to take a look at this. And their grand jury came back, hey, there's problems here. This does not look good. And there's more than one of you. Does this sound like slow? There's more than one of you that seems to have loyalties to the 49ers. So they did the same thing. They put out a report and they sent it over to Becker and the city and said, don't share it. Well, he immediately sent it to the 49ers. And that was found. And in this case, it went right over to the district attorney's office, who found it was a felony because you're sworn in and he'd violated the rules of being sworn in. And then he had also shared the report, which is a misdemeanor. It went to court. He was convicted. He got 40 days in jail and is now off the city council. That he was convicted in December 2024. He went to jail in 25. And again, he was found guilty. But one of the differences here is you have the mayor saying, I'd do it again. That's what surprises me.
Yeah.
When caught, she said, I'd do the same thing over again.
It kind of shows how aligned she is with Cal Poly. You know, we lived in that neighborhood. My husband's a first responder. He's a EMS helicopter pilot. He needs to rest between his shifts. He works 12 to 14 hours for 7 days straight. So we've lived there. We lived there for years and years and never had fraternities around our home. It was something that we noticed in the fall of 2021 that they started cropping up around us, to the point that we were surrounded and he couldn't rest between his shifts and would have to call out sick. He was based here at Paso Robles. You know, that he's putting his medical crew at risk, the patients that he's flying around at risk when he's not able to sleep. So finally, we sent a complaint to the grand jury about the fraternities that were unlawfully operating. At that point,
are not legal fraternities. These are ones that are operating illegally, and Cal Poly is aware of them.
Yes. Cal Poly's aware they're there. Cal Poly has more fraternity members than any other university or UC or CSU in California, amazingly, with one of the smallest host cities. So that's not a good combination. And they don't provide housing for their fraternity members. The sororities go to the fraternity houses to party. The sororities aren't allowed to have alcohol at their parties, so they go to the fraternity houses.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Kathy Walker and Carolyn Smith.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Church, live in concert at the California Mid-State Fair. Saturday, July 18th. Get tickets now at midstatefair.com.
Having a record year. Funny how melody sounds.
Don't miss Eric Church.
Pulled out drinking.
Saturday, July 18th at the California Mid-State Fair.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We're talking about conflicts of interest, self-dealing, and I have Kathy Walker and Carolyn Smith. They are two residents of San Luis Obispo who actually did some records requests, or one of you did. And what that showed afterwards was that the city had violated, the mayor had violated the law, and so had the city manager, by there was a grand jury investigation into two things. There was an investigation into the loud parties and St. Fratty's Days, and also into all the illegal fraternities. So during this, there are laws when you talk to the grand jury. The city immediately began, you know, working with Cal Poly trying to align their stories. And then the mayor was told not to give out a document, and she sent it right over to Cal Poly, and then started discussing getting their act together and all working together with responses. That's not permitted. It's against the law. It's actually a misdemeanor, and it can be a felony depending on how it's looked at. And it has been prosecuted in other counties. Dan Dow was on a radio station last night. He was asked point blank, are you investigating? And Dan said, I can't say one way or another if I am investigating. He was very clear. He could not let that out. But at the end of the show, it was mentioned, maybe the mayor needs to get an attorney. So there are some issues here. But we also now, for decades and decades and decades, someone would call the DA's office in San Luis Obispo County, and the DA would tell you, I don't do investigations. That was the way it was. He only worked off of reports from other agencies. So if he didn't get a report from the sheriff's department or one of the police departments or the CHP, they didn't go anywhere, or state parks also. And sometimes the Department of Real Estate, they didn't start any of their own investigations. Dan Dow, then we have all the corruption with Adam Hill and others. And Dan Dow started what he calls his public integrity unit. Since then, they actually do their own investigation. So they had calls regarding San Simeon. There appears to be, again, self-dealing and conflicts of interest. You had a general manager who had an engineering firm who was passing contracts over to his own firm and making money. They looked into that. They found he had done it. They did a civil case against him. They got him out of office. They made him pay back money. Also, you'd had where they were looking the other way with South County Sanitation. And John Wallace was also an administrator who was giving all this work to his engineering firm at extravagant costs, while people in the IWMA, Integrated Waste Management Authority, were paying their household bills with credit cards from a government agency. Literally, the secretary was paying her phone bill at home and other bills. One of them went on vacation to Europe and used a government credit card to buy a dress. It was again, self-dealing and conflict of interest. And that's why this is so important. We now have a DA that looks into these things. We now have a DA that doesn't have to get a report from someone else. And as many of you know, his money's been cut back. Dan Dow has come out and said, he's got to get rid of 4.5 people. And I asked him directly, are you going to stop investigating some of the corruption cases? He said, actually, what's going to suffer is theft arrests and drug arrests, prosecutions. I am not going to not go after corruption and public officials because public officials are cutting back my money. So there is, I don't know if Dan Dow is looking into this case, but he was clearly aware of it when he spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Yeah, he did seem to be.
Yeah, he did seem to know about it, and he couldn't say either way whether he was investigating. But the conflict, it appears in a lot of the meetings we've gone to. We had a recent meeting with a study session about the fraternity issue, and there was a lot of talking, but there was really no solution other than them telling Cal Poly that they needed to solve the problem, and Cal Poly said, we're not going to do it. It's not top priority for us. So it went back to the city council, and they basically are not really going to do anything different, and their enforcement has not been effective of the illegal fraternity operations. And so the residents are going to continue to suffer from those operations and forcing other people out besides Kathy and her family.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot of RQN members in that area over years from the partying. Because they just can't live like that.
Yeah,
you just
sort
can't
of
live
ironic.
In that kind of...
The irony is that it's forcing people to leave, and an investor will buy that home, and it becomes a fraternity. So that neighborhood has essentially become the Greek Row, and yeah, that's the problem.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with Kathy and Carolyn and talking about conflicts of interest and self-dealing by government officials.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.